Thank you, Jennifer. God bless you. I'd like you to take the Word of God with me, please. Turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 2. The book of Galatians, chapter 2. Wait on me there. I had something else ready to go today, and at around 9:30 this morning, the Lord told me to wait until next week to preach it. And there's a reason for that. I want to be a preacher that obeys the promptings of the Holy Spirit of God. And he's laid this message immediately. I'm glad he did, because it's around 9:30 this morning, you understand. He pointed my attention to this service, to this particular sermon here. And I'll be giving to you in just a moment. But I cannot encourage you to be preparing yourself for the coming weeks in February. Several years ago, I did a study on the love of God, the agape love of God. And I preached that concerning our marriages, our homes, husbands and wives loving each other the way that God loves us. And God willing, I'm going to begin that same study with you next Sunday morning. And the reason I believe the Lord would have me to wait on this is because he wanted me to promote it a little bit better and encourage you to get folks under the sound of these sermons that will be coming beginning next Sunday morning. God willing, I'm going to be preaching every Sunday from this point forward, beginning next Sunday, on our marriages, our homes, and what it takes to have the marriage that God wants you to have. Now, just in case, because I know I'm speaking to some folks who are not married, maybe widows, widowers, or maybe you've been divorced, don't tune me out and say, well, I'm not coming the rest of the month of February. Because the fact of the matter is, all we're going to do is do a detailed study on the love of God. And may I say this to you, that if you're married, we ought to mimic the love of God in our marriages. But even if you're not married, but you know the Lord is your Savior, this study should encourage and comfort your heart. Because this is how God loves you. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? We're just going to study how God loves us. And I'm going to tell you something, friends. If it doesn't stir you whenever you come and hear these messages beginning next Sunday morning, I'm not sure that you can be stirred. As we study the love of God, how God loves me. You glad this morning that God loves you? Say amen. It's a specific kind of love he has for us. We're going to study it together. I wanted to start it today. I did. I mean, I was ready. I was studying it out, all of this, and the Lord said, uh-uh, son. Not now. Promote it. Push it. And let me tell you something. Some of you all work with folks that their marriages are crumbling. Some of you all know family members in this area that their marriage is crumbling. Maybe some of your marriages are crumbling. And may I say something to you? Nobody's marriage has arrived. Mine hasn't, and yours hasn't either. But it's my goal in all of this that our homes will become as strong as they possibly can be. This church will be no stronger than the homes represented with inside of it. And the home is under attack. Now, I'm not preaching this. It sounds like I am, doesn't it? I'm going to start this next week. So what we're going to do is lift up the love of God and how he loves us. Everybody can get encouraged with that. But then if you're married, you ought to mimic that in your marriage. On top of that, do you understand the Bible? God, Jesus commanded us to love one another the same way he loves us. This love that we're going to be studying is a love that marriages ought to have. It's a love that Christians ought to have for one another. It's a love that saved people ought to have for lost people. It's God's love. And I hope you'll be back starting next week, ready, prayed up. God, help me be open. Help me get it. May the Lord touch it. It's going to take several services to get through it. And I'm looking forward to it. I really am. I'm also looking forward to this sermon I'm getting ready to preach to you, all right? This morning in the foundations class, it was all spiritual over there. They had a bubblegum blowing contest. It was me against Ford Davis, my wife against Angela Davis. I'm not real sure what it means that my wife and I both won, because I think that means we've got a little bit more hot air than both of them. But anyway, my wife was amazing today. She's in the nursery. She was going, and it was just little bubbles coming out. It was like, who can blow the biggest? This is deep stuff here, friends. This is spiritual stuff. You're glad you came to church to hear about the bubble gum blowing contest, right? In 30 seconds, who could blow the biggest bubble? It was small bubble, and all of a sudden it looked like a hot air balloon came out of her mouth. I mean, it was just humongous. I used that terminology, and Stephanie Rourke said, "Are you saying that your wife has hot air?" And you know as well as I do that that is not what I meant, okay? Have y'all think that I just tried to save my own hide there? Would you raise your hand? Yes? Yes? Have y'all don't really care about my hide? Would you raise your hand? You really don't care? John, that's terrible. Be back tonight in the Lord's house. And if you can be, you should be. Amen. I know what's going on tonight. Nothing like what's going to be going on inside God's house. I'll guarantee you that. And put the Lord first. If you can be here, try to be back. If you call this church your church home, I'm not talking about visitors, okay? I hope you enjoy it so much that you want to come back tonight, but be right in God's house. I start soul winning training with you next Sunday night, 5:30. We'll say more about this later, all right? Galatians chapter 2, just one verse of Scripture. This is a thought that the Lord has laid on my heart, and it is so simple, but yet it's just basic Christianity. It's so simple, I'm going to give you a lot of Scripture throughout this, and you're going to get very quickly today where I'm going with this. But this is really where the rubber meets the road when it comes to Christianity. It's a thought that is basic, but yet it can change our life. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, look at this. The Apostle Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Notice the Apostle Paul said he's crucified with Christ. But he's alive. But it's not him, it's Christ in him. And today I want to speak to you on this subject: Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. It's a direct quote right here: Christ liveth in me. Let's pray together. I share this thought with you. Father, would you bless? And as you have guided me and directed me to this particular passage and this particular sermon, I confess before all of these dear folks that I need your help. I know in my heart what you're trying to get across today, and I pray that you use your servant here to say exactly what you'd have me to say. And would you help us to leave today understanding the message? Challenge us, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. When Jesus Christ walked upon planet Earth, he lived a sinless life. He was, and he is, Almighty God. And when he came to earth, he was God manifest in the flesh. You know as well as I do that the Word of God teaches that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was living on earth in a human body, the Bible teaches us that he used every single part of his body to fulfill the will of his Heavenly Father. Every body part he had, he devoted to the service of his Heavenly Father. In other words, he used his eyes to please the Father. He used his ears and his hands and his mouth and his mind and his feet and his heart. You get where I'm going. He used his body, physical body, to glorify his Heavenly Father. Now we know that the Lord Jesus Christ has ascended back to heaven, and someday he's coming back to this earth. But may I say to us today, and this is a challenge, this is an encouragement, but but it's also a challenge to us today. He still has a desire to do the same things. I want to ask you a question. How does he do it today? How does he use his hands, his feet, his eyes, his mind, his ears, his mouth to glorify the Heavenly Father? Let me tell you how he does it. By living in me and by living in you. The Word of God teaches us that when the Lord Jesus Christ saves us, when we ask Him to come into our heart, and by faith we turn from our sin and trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit of God takes residence in us. God lives in us. And may I say this to us, and I'm just going to walk through this with us now. He not only lives in us, He now wants to live through us. And I'm talking to you today about who owns you. And who have you devoted your body to? The Bible teaches that we are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Today it's so simple. It almost sounds like a children's sermon. But this is something that God's laid on my heart. And it's something that if we'll get a hold of this and this gets a hold of us, it will change our life forever. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. In other words, the Apostle Paul is teaching there that Jesus Christ's life, He wants to manifest His life in our body. In other words, as Jesus Christ lives in us, He wants to live through us. Which means what He did with His hands, if I'm yielded to Him, I will do with mine. What He did with His eyes, I will do with mine. What He did with His mouth, I will do with mine. I don't belong to me. I belong to Jesus. And because I belong to Him, I should yield my body to Him and allow Him to live His life through me. So I want to talk to you today about your body. Your body. I'm not talking about how old it is, how young it is, how tall it is, how short it is, what size it is. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your body. Who owns you? Who are you living to please? I want to work through our body. And I just want to bring this out. This is one of those sermons, it's like I already knew that. Good night. I didn't learn anything new today. Okay, don't learn anything new. But are you listening to it? Are you submitting to it? Are you doing it? Number one, your eyes. Let's talk about our eyes. In other words, what you look at. The Bible says this in Matthew 5:29, if your right eye offend thee, pluck it out. Now that does not mean to carry that out literally, okay? That's comparative language. He's saying this, if you can't trust your eye, then you need to do something drastic so you don't succumb to what it wants to look at. Pluck it out. The Bible teaches this about our eyes, 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, there it is, the pride of life is not of the Father but is of the world. Genesis 3, 6 and 7, when you think of Adam and Eve, especially Eve, it says, and when the woman saw, when she saw that the tree was good for fruit, was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, then she took the fruit. She saw it first. Look at it. And when she looked at it, she began to lust after it. She began to want it and eventually she did it. Take it from Achan himself in the book of Joshua. You see where I'm going with this sermon. In the book of Joshua chapter 6, God's getting ready to give the mighty city of Jericho to the Israelites. But he told them, when I give you this city, you keep your hands off of everything in there. I'm not going to give you the spoils of this city. The spoils belong to me. They are off limits to you. Yet one man, when he went into that city, his name was Achan. And you know the story here. Maybe you don't, but if just kind of paraphrasing here, Achan eventually, he takes something that belonged to God. God told him, don't take anything. He took it. He hid it in his tent. And when the story was over, he is going to be stoned and his family is going to be stoned with him. And he gives his personal testimony. And here's what he said. Joshua 7:1, when I saw, among the spoils, a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. Then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid. Take David and Bathsheba. David should have been out on the battlefield. You know that. He's up on his roof and he's watching, and he notices a lady by the name of Bathsheba bathing herself. By the way, good night. She should have had some blinds up. Somebody say amen right there. She's as much to blame as he is here. But he saw her. He looked at her. And he began to want her. He called for her and he finds out that she's a married woman. But he's so engaged in lust after this woman, he doesn't care. He calls for her, has relations with her. She sends word back to him and says, I am with child. I am pregnant. Her husband was on the battlefield. David tries to cover his sin. He calls her husband home, tries to get him to go home, because when it comes out that she's expecting, if he could just get her husband in that home, the natural thought would be, that's just a man and wife. God has blessed their union. He's trying to hide his sin. The man had too much character. He would not go home, so David made him drunk, sends him back to the battlefield, and sends his death sentence with him, tells Joab, find the hottest battle, put him on the front lines, withdraw from him, let him be killed. This is the man after God's own heart, friends. And he did that? Yes. Where did it start? With what he looked at. Your eyes are vitally important. Vitally important. And I wonder just this week, who had your eyes? You know, you preach something like this, and somebody, that's good for teenagers. Hey, are you listening? It is good for teenagers. It's also good for grown-ups. Amen. You tell me, men, and let me just talk to the men just a moment here. I know God can what I'm talking about is use a lady's eyes. I get that. He can tempt a lady with what she looks at. But you and I know, men, that we are under attack. And if you say, I'm not bothered by that, stay away from me. Amen. I'm telling you something today, that your eyes are under attack. And if you do not give them to God, you will give them to somebody else. Either yourself or the devil. Now, I know sometimes you come, it's an encouraging message. Sometimes you come and you go out with sore feet. May I say this to you? It's good sometimes to leave a service and your feet are sore because the preacher and the preaching steps all over you. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. If you ever get to a church and it's always peaches and cream, God is good, which we know, but the devil's as good as he is. There's no bad. Just smile. Everything's peaches and cream. You better get out of that church, friends. Now, I'm telling you something. I'm mad at the devil today is what I'm mad at. And I know that he attacks the eyes. If he can get you to look at something that you should not look at, you will do something you should not do. Psalm 101:3 says this, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. By the way, men, whenever you're tempted to look at something that you shouldn't look at, by the way, you don't have to go looking for it to find it. It's on billboards. It's magazines when you're checking out at Food City, for crying out loud. You know what I'm talking about. And when you're tempted to look, quote, I'll set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I will set no wicked thing before. My eyes do not belong to me. Jesus would not look at that, so neither should I. Can I get an amen, please? You can't help your preacher out today. Number one, who owns your eyes? Number two, what about your ears? What do you listen to? This no doubt applies to music, but this also applies to language and just what comes in your ear gate. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:9, speak not in the ears of a fool, for he would despise the wisdom of thy words. Psalm 85:8 says, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. John 8:47, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not because you're not of God. Let me ask you a question. Would Jesus look at what you looked at this week? Would Jesus listen to what you listened to this week? The old saying, what would Jesus do? There's some truth to that. Would Jesus listen to that? Would he give his ear to that? Are you letting Jesus look through your eyes? Are you letting Jesus listen through your ears? Friends, it's interesting. It's interesting that in the book of 2 Peter, chapter number 2, verses 7 and 8, listen to this. It's interesting what the Bible says about Lot. You know, Lot, if the Bible did not say this, none of us in here would believe he was a Christian. None of us. But the Bible identifies him as just Lot. He was just. You know what that tells us? That tells us he was a Christian. He didn't live like one. He moved his family to Sodom. He looked upon it. There it is. He looked at it, and he moved his family there. He was so backslidden, it was ridiculous. What got him in trouble? It's interesting. Listen to this. 2 Peter chapter number 2 and verses 7 and 8. Listen to this. And delivered just Lot. There it is. He's just. In other words, he's a Christian. He's righteous before God. He's just. Vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Now listen to verse 8. Just listen to this. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Did you hear that? You know what Lot's problem was? His eyes and his ears. He looked at things he should not look at. He listened to things he should not listen to. And he ended up in Sodom. And you and I realize, don't let me be like Lot. You know anybody that named their kid Lot? You don't want to be like him, do you? No, I don't. What got him in trouble is he didn't give his eyes and his ears to God. Hey, it's a battle, friends. Don't you tell me it's not a battle. The Christian life is not easy. Everybody'd be doing it if it was. There's a reason Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. I'm not even alive. He's talking about his wants. That's crucified. Yet he's alive, but not him. Christ is living in him. In other words, I've given my body to Jesus. And whatever he did, that's what I'm going to do. If he would do that, I'm going to do it. If he wouldn't do it, I'm not going to do it. Let me tell you why. Because I belong to him. And my body's his body, not mine. You with me today? Yes? I know you may not be glad you came, I understand, but this preaching will help you if you'll let it. It'll help you. Your eyes, is Jesus looking through them? Your ears, is Jesus listening through them? Let's go on. What about your mind? The Bible says in Isaiah 26:3, says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. The Bible teaches in Romans chapter number 8, you don't need to turn to this, just let me turn to it for time's sake. But in Romans chapter number 8, verse 5 and following says this, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 through 8 says this, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and be any praise, think on these things." Let me ask you a question. The way you thought this week, your mind, how you think, was it true? Was it honest? Was it just? Was it pure? Was it lovely? Was it of a good report? If it wasn't, then that's not how Jesus thinks. Folks, we need to give our body to Him. Let me ask you a question. How's your mind doing? You at peace? Or are you just torn up all to pieces? Are you at peace? Or you letting your eyes be bombarded and your ears bombarded to where your mind, excuse me, is nothing but a garbage tank. Don't you think the Lord Jesus deserves our allegiance, our devotedness, our committedness? Then we need to give Him our eyes. Lord, they're not mine, they're yours. Help me look at what you look at. My ears are not my ears, they're yours, God. Help me listen to what you would listen to. My mind is not my mind, it's your mind. And dear Lord, help me think like you think. Help me think pure thoughts, just thoughts, good reports. What about your mouth? By the way, show me how you think, and I show you what you're looking at and what you're listening to. Did you hear what I just said? You show me how you think and you show me how you speak, and I show you what's going in here and going in there. It's quiet in here, friends. That's okay. Because I've not arrived either. The Bible says this about our mouth, Psalm 34, 13, "Keep thy tongue from evil and keep thy lips from speaking guile." Psalm 39, 1, "I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me." Proverbs 21, 23 says, "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles." James chapter 3, verses 3 to 13, I'm not going to read it, but in context, it talks about the tongue is a little member, but it's set on fire of hell. In other words, there's the power of life and death in the tongue. Let me ask you a question. Are you letting Jesus speak through you? How'd you speak this week? What came out of your mouth this week? Was the things that came out of your mouth, were those things things that Jesus would say? Or things that really somebody who's just angry would say that? Is that something the devil would say, your flesh would say, the world would say, or Jesus would say? Now I'm sure nobody in here made a mistake with your mouth this week, right? Nobody said something that they shouldn't have this week. Sure. Let's move on here for just a moment. What about your hands? This is what you do. Number one, your eyes, what you look at. Your ears, what you listen to. Your mind, how you think. Your mouth, what you say. Your hands, what you do. What do? The Bible says this about our hands, Isaiah 56:2, blessed is the man that keepeth his hand from doing any evil. Psalm 90, verse 17, establish thou the work of our hands upon us, yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. James 4:8, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. May I say it this way? If you are letting Jesus live through you, there are some things that will never be found in your hands. On the flip side, if you're letting him live through you, there are some things that will be found in your hands. Like the Bible, gospel tracts. I'm talking about just letting Jesus live through you. If you're saved, he bought you with his blood. We belong to God by creation, and we who are saved by salvation or redemption. He bought us. He made us and he bought us. We belong to him. And he says, I'm going to give you freedom. I'm going to give you freedom of choice. I want you to choose whether you're going to let me live through you or not. Now, what did you do this week? Did you let him look through you? Did you let him listen through you? Did you let him think through you? Did you let him speak through you? Did you let him do through you? What about your feet? Psalm 56:13 says, wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Psalm 119:101, I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. Proverbs 1:15 and 16, my son, walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path. In other words, take your feet out of the pathway of the wicked. Proverbs 4:26 and 27, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Remove thy foot from evil. Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. 1 Peter 2:21, follow his steps. May I say this to you? Just spiritually speaking, Jesus has already walked the path he wants us to walk. And if you, just trying to get you to think right here, just an illustration, can you see the footprint, spiritually speaking, of Jesus Christ? Where his feet took him and where they would still take him today, he walks a certain direction. I guarantee you this, I'm emphasizing my walk, I don't really walk strut like that. But anyway, I'm emphasizing his footsteps only go to certain places. If you follow Jesus Christ, if you step where he stepped, and now he's stepping in you and through you, then listen to me, friends. He's not going to take you there. He's not going to take you here. He's not going to take you there. He will take you in one direction. In other words, if he's walking through you, there's some places you'll never be found. Amen. If he has your feet, there's some places you will never let your feet take you. Appreciate that two amens there. By the way, friends, listen to me. All I'm talking about today, really all I'm preaching, is if you're a Christian, you ought to live like it. Amen. All I'm preaching, this is just another way to say, come out from among them and be ye separate. This is just another way to say, you know, he deserves me. I want to give him my life. He can do more with me than I can myself. If I live my life through my body members, I'm going to throw my life away. But if I give my life to him, then he's going to live through me and make my life worth the living. That's all I'm preaching here. And I'm telling you this morning that we ought to give him our feet. Now think, if you're going in your feet where he would go in his feet, there's some places that you're going to end up. You're in one of them this morning. I'm not saying this, about, I'm just saying the house of God, the church. The right kind of church, by the way, too. His feet will never go in to a church that doesn't preach the gospel the way it's supposed to be. Amen, friends. All roads do not lead home. I don't care what the fairy tales tell you. There's only one way to heaven, and that is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's where His feet will take you. His feet will take you to a godly church. His feet will take you places that He would go Himself. But you listen, think this week. Where'd you go with your feet? Where'd you go this week? Would Jesus go there? I end with this. This is really where it begins, but I just felt the Lord leading me to end with it. What about your heart? The Bible says in Psalm 119:1, Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Matthew 15:19, For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Mark 12:30 says, And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. All thine heart. Let me ask you a question. What's in your heart? What's in your heart? Is there bitterness there? Is there anger there? Is there resentment there? Is there revenge there? Is there... What's in your heart? The bottom line is this, when you think about it. We who know the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior, He owns us twice. He owns everybody by creation. He created us all. But if you're saved, He owns you by redemption, paying the price. He owns me twice. I have no right. Notice I didn't say I don't have a choice. I said I have no right to live life the way I want to live it. By the way, you know what I've noticed about the Lord? You give your heart to Jesus, and you don't only live for Him, you want to. You understand? He puts a desire that you want to. If you're saved today, you ought to desire to give your body to Jesus. Lord, help me look at what You look at. Help me listen to what You would listen to. Help me speak how You speak. And help me think how You think. And help me do with my hands what You do. And help me go with my feet where You would have me go. You say, Jody, how can I do that? The answer's here. Just give your heart to God. If He has your heart, He has everything else. You say, wait a minute, He doesn't have my eyes. My problem's my eyes. I just need to get that out. Get it out, get it out. No, the problem is right here. Because the Bible says out of the heart is where these things come from. So I ask you, as we're starting to come down for a landing, I said start now, okay? Sometimes that start is a little long, all right? We're starting to come down for a landing here. It's a simple thought today. Who has you? Who has you? By the way, I'm not naive enough to believe. Let me talk to the teenagers just a moment. I'm not naive enough to believe that teenagers, all of our teenagers here are right with God. They know the Lord. They're right with Him. And every one of them is giving their body to Jesus. I guarantee you they're teenagers. I guarantee you there are teenagers here who are playing a game. They put a front on in front of their family. Put a front on in front of some of these other people. But they know in their heart who they are. I guarantee you that we've got some adults here. That you know right now you've never given your body to God. Look here, please. If right now it's like, does He know something about me? That's the Holy Spirit of God. It's the old saying that if somebody throws a rock into a pack of dogs, the dog that comes out yelping is the one that got hit by the rock. May I say this to you? There are too many times in my own life, and this is not false humility, I'm telling you the truth. There are too many times in my own life when I was using my body for myself instead of for God. It's time we see what a blessing it is that Jesus Christ, the Creator of it all, wants to live through me. He's like, will you just give me your body and let me live my life through you? It's a simple thought, almost childish, you understand? Almost childish. But there's so few people that have really done that. So let me work down through this with you. 1 John 2:6 says this. He that saith he abideth in him, talking about anybody that says he abides in God. In other words, anybody that says they're saved, anybody that says they're a Christian, okay? He that saith he abideth in him, listen to this, ought himself to walk even as he walked. Did you hear that? 1 John 2:6, paraphrase it. If you say you know him, then you ought to do what he did. You ought to walk like he walked. What else can that mean other than we ought to live our life to please Jesus? It's basic Christianity. Romans chapter 6, verse number 13. Again, don't turn to it. Just let me turn to it here. Romans 6 and verse number 13 puts it this way. It says, neither yield ye your members, talking about your body, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members, your body parts, your members, as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now, I'm done, basically. Don't you like that word basically there? That gives me time to keep going here just a minute. I know this is simple. I had something else to preach to you. I'm going to do it next week, God willing. I hope he doesn't change my mind again at 9:30 next week, you know what I'm saying? But he did this morning. And immediately, he took me to this thought. I just want you to be real. By the way, let me take me out of it. Who cares what I want, okay? He just wants us to be real. Just be genuine. I caught myself, I believe it was this week, saying, Lord, just help me be a genuine Christian. Help me be real. You know what this world needs? Real Christianity. Just real. No more hypocrisy. No more, well, yes, I'm saved, glory to God, but nobody's going to tell me what to do. Now, who would say that? Not many people. But they live that. Life speaks louder than words. Actions speak louder than words. I just want to tell you that many times I have not done this, but I have a desire in my heart. I want these eyes to be given to him so he can look through me. I want to give my ears to Jesus, I really do. I want to think like he thinks. I want to speak like he speaks. I want to do what he does. I want to go where he would go. And I want to love the Father like he did. Don't you? Don't you? You know where it starts? telling God what I just told you. God, help me fall in love with you so much that I desire to do this. Could you imagine, Brother Gary, let's go ahead and start this invitation rolling. If not, I sense myself going on and on here, and I'm not going to do that. Could you imagine if just half the crowd here, just half. What do we have here, like 3,000 people? No, I'm just kidding with you. If just half the crowd right here would leave today and say, I'm not mine anymore. I'm giving my entire body to God. You know what that means? Some people need to clean out some music in their home. Some people need to get rid of some stuff in their home. Some people need to start incorporating other things in their home. I'll guarantee you this. If the Lord's looking through your eyes and working through your hands, there'll never be a day go by when some of your eyes, some part of the day, your eyes are not reading the Word of God. You follow me here? It's simple. I know it's basic. I get it. It's simple. But have you made that commitment? I am no longer my own. God, here I am. Live through me. Have you made that decision? By the way, it's not a one-time decision. It's a daily thing. And may God help us see this. Let me ask this question, and we're going to start playing, not yet, in just a moment, and the invitation's going to begin. Do you at least understand the message today? Yes or no? Yes? Now, balcony, do you at least understand the message today? Yes? 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 I'm getting a lot of stares up there. At least shake your head or something. And if anybody does this, I'm starting all over again. Okay? You got it. We got it, right? It's simple. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? I'm pausing for emphasis. Just begin to play through softly, Miss Jennifer. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Obviously, the invitation is always open for somebody that's never trusted Christ. If you're here today, but you've never asked the Lord to come into your heart to forgive your sin, take you to heaven when you die, that's your greatest need. Maybe you've never given God your body because you've never given Him your heart first. And you're not sure that you're saved. If that's you, come, let us take a Bible, share the gospel with you. Really, the message today was strongly, strongly to Christians. Have you given your body to God? Taking your hands off. Maybe today God's speaking to you. Maybe some of you children in here, some of you teenagers in here, some of you adults in here, some of you senior saints in here, you say, you know, I've already made that decision, but I'm going to tell you one thing, I'm going to make it again. God deserves me. My body's God's body. I see that. And He wants to live through me. I'm going to ask Brother Gary just to begin to sing. Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As soon as Brother Gary begins to sing, would you be the first to come? Some have already responded, but will you be the first to come as soon as you hear Him and He begins to sing, leave your place and say, God, here am I. Take my body and use me.
Take my life. Come on. And let
from the balcony down below.
You
know it's hard to come from the balcony. It's a long place to come from, but come on anyway. If God's telling you to come, come on.
Take my hands.
Give God your body.
Let them move.
Give Him your life.
Let the impulse this is where it's at. There's no question about it. Thy love. Let the impulse.
There's time for you.
Just
keep singing, Brother Gary.
Take my feet. Feed and let them be.
Give it to Jesus.
Swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing. Always only for my King. Always only for my King.
They're playing through softly. Folks are praying. We're about through. I trust the Holy Spirit of God will not let you get away from this thought. Before you look at that, trust in the Holy Spirit of God to say, would Jesus look at that? Before you listen to that, would Jesus listen to that? Before you say that, would Jesus say this? The battle in your mind, oh God, give me victory. Help me think like you think. And don't let the eyes and ears bombard your mind, you understand? Before you do that, would Jesus do it? Before you go there, would Jesus go there? You got it. Give your heart to the Lord. That's where it's all about. No doubt about it. I want to sing one more verse here momentarily. Nobody else comes, we'll be done. But if you're there right now and say, I need to go, you come on. This last, potentially last verse is for you. As Brother Gary begins to sing, if God wants you to come, come on now, would you do it please? Come on.
Take my life.
This is for you. The Lord is speaking to your heart right now.
Consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. At the impulse of thy love.
Playing through softly, you can look this way. Let me give you a few closing remarks here. If you're visiting with us, and have your visitor's card. If you'll take it out through the lobby, drop it off to Welcome Center. We'll have somebody there to greet you, give you a special gift. Please be much in prayer beginning next Sunday morning, 1 week from today, where I'm launching this little series, just a small series in the month of February, the Love Month. We're going to talk about the love of God and how He loves us and how we should love each other and apply it specifically to marriages. Even though that's not the only application, you understand. So may the Lord help us with this. Amen. Brother Steve Mullins, sir, if you wouldn't mind to dismiss us in prayer, please.